There was an unplanned silence recently. Unplanned, which meant, well, a failing mark for the church when it should have been with the people, perhaps in silence. Does that make sense? Well, how about if I connect those dots? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church. This is episode number 426 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Be still and know that I am God. That's what the psalmist writes. Hey, guess what? Church was up for a test and it failed. It was silent. It was still. And I don't think God was recognized. Yeah, something tragic happened in Armenia. It was a testing point. It was a test for the church, and the church basically failed. It wasn't there. We're going to be talking about that today, okay? We're going to be talking about that silence, and be still, and know that I am God. I know this is one of my mom's favorite passages. We used to go to this place called Self-Realization Center, and it was in the middle of the garden. You'd just sit there and look at the beauty of the world there. And this little passage would reach out to you. Be still and know that I am God. Talk about that in a few minutes, okay? First of all, I want to thank you all for the wonderful comments you sent in about our guest last week, Tiana, and her poetry. I got so many comments and so many requests to bring her back on the show and talk a little bit more. And in fact, a couple criticisms of why I didn't really dwell deeper into some of the subject matter. First of all, I think everybody that I heard from said they could relate to it. They were, and this is, I think, the sign of a good guest, of a good speaker, of good poetry, of good art, right? People relate to it at different levels. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we don't get into it too deeply, because it's not really important as much. Well, I shouldn't say it's not completely important, but it's not that important what the artist thinks about it as much as how does it reflect off of you, off of what you're feeling, what you're going through. And art, whether it's in the form of poetry, prose, a painting on a wall, a piece of music, whatever form that art is, it speaks to people at different levels in different ways. And there is that there is that point at which you can't define it too much. I'm very scared sometimes. I've met with so many different artists, and the temptation is there to say, what did you mean when you said that or when you wrote that? And you back off, because I think sometimes they back off too. At least that's what I've noticed. Maybe there are some that really want to talk about it, and that's fine too. But I think to each of us, beauty in the eye of the beholder, right? We look at it, we want to see it, and we want to find something that speaks to us. So, with that being said, yes, thank you for your comments. Tiana, wonderful young lady. I'm going to try to get in touch with her, hopefully in this week, and we'll see if we can get her back on in the next few months or something. We'll see if she'll read some more poetry and share some of that wonderful art with our listeners. But thank you very much for your comments. Okay, I want to talk today about being still, about not talking. Let me preface why I'm going there, because what's happened in Armenia, it I can't say it's finished. Basically, some of the actions have subsided. The standoff is seemingly over, but there's so many questions about brutality, about dictatorship, about the oligarchy, about the injustice that's taking place. Just so many things. And as I've shared with you in the past, I'm not the one who's going to go into that political arena, because I believe that, you know, you can't sit here in the diaspora and talk about the Armenian condition there specifically, because I'm not a politician, and you know that so much is in the hands of the politicians. And this is where my contempt for the politicians comes in. I mean, look how they've screwed up the world. And so much of it is given to them, because we don't know new metaphors. The way we run the world, we think of politics, right? That this is how people have to deal with one another, using politics by giving and taking and negotiating. And that's basically been the metaphor all along. And so where does the church fit in? Especially when you see injustice in the world, when we're just smacked in the head every single day with injustice, with intolerance, with hatred. I mean, think about what we're talking about these human conditions. And we go back and we appeal to politics to answer them, rather than to look at them as human conditions of the soul, of the heart, and this desire as people to be able to be free. That pursuit of happiness, for lack of a better expression, right? That pursuit of happiness that is here in America part of the Declaration of Independence. And you look around in the world and you see people, you see despots, you see the situation with the oligarchs, with dictators, and people coming in and usurping the power and saying that this is the way it is. And we, even in benevolent dictatorships, right, you have that person who has this altruistic reason for leading a country this way, but still people will rebel looking for that freedom. And once that freedom is had, I don't know, is it the human condition that we don't appreciate what we have? I say this because recently here in America, we've come down to two candidates, both of which are just basically unacceptable. You have a Donald Trump and a Hillary Clinton, and there is so much. I think the expression is that it's never been this much dislike towards the two candidates, and people are coming down to picking the better of two evils, so to speak. Or do you say the worst of two evils, or the better of two evils, right? One who's better. And it's a difficult decision, right? It's a difficult decision. Yet, it still is a decision. Namely, that there has to be a vote for it. And people do not want to vote this year. They're saying it's better that we sit back. My vote doesn't seem to matter, because basically look at what you're getting. And so we're feeling incompetent. We're feeling impotent. We're unable, we're lacking all kinds of power, because basically a system that has given us people that we really don't care for. And it's sad. It's sad. And so you've got this situation where you have this freedom, but you don't want to use that freedom. I don't know. Is this a natural ending to that state of freedom? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that in Armenia, we had a test where people have been, for many years actually, been protesting against the inequality, the injustice, about the corruption. And here you had a test for the church. Where was the church going to stand? With the people or without the people? Namely, on the side of the government. Did it have to stand someplace? Okay? Now, I've been very vocal about this in the past. I've shared with you some of my feelings about this, about how the church necessarily has to be there, right? If the church is proclaiming itself as the body of Christ, would Christ be there, or would he run away? Would he be there at a time when people are protesting, are looking for a companion, somebody to share that time with them, to be with them in their time of need? And so this test for the Armenian church came about And unfortunately, the Armenian church wasn't there. The Armenian church wasn't there. I shared with you, I think last week, I was watching a feed. They had a few different feeds, and I was watching one of them. I can't remember which one. And it was like 3-4 in the morning. And there was a barricade, a police barricade. One side the police, one side the protesters. And the commentator, this was like on the third or fourth day of the protests, of the action that was taking place over there. And yes, I will, thank you. I will definitely have a link on today's show notes so you could read about some of the things. And if you're coming late into the discussion, you could read about what this was all about. But suffice it to say, there was unrest. There were people out in the streets and there was a barricade and there was an opportunity for the church, namely the body of Christ, to be there. And you say, in what way? What did you want the church to do? Did you want the church to pick up guns? Did you want the church to go and smack around people? Well, think about it for a moment. We're going to get to what the church should have done. Okay? But let me just recount the opportunity missed. There's a police barricade, and you have protesters on one side, and you have the police on the other side. And two priests arrive at this scene. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning. We were watching here in America exactly 11 or 12 hours opposite. So it was during the day over here, but over there, 3 or 4 in the morning. People are tired. It's the third or fourth day, and these two priests arrive, and you hear the commentator say, two representatives of the church came. It was interesting to me that they weren't priests. I mean, they were priests, yes, but they weren't referred to as priests. They were referred to as representatives of the church, namely an institution, not the priests of Jesus Christ, right? But of the institution. And you see them going into the crowd and people are protesting like a little, too late. Where have you guys been? Where have you been all this time? And then something happened, which I'll never forget. One of the protesters turned to the priest in Armenian, is begging him, literally begging him, saying, please, Father, lead us in a prayer. Lead us in a prayer so that we can calm down, we can find some peace this evening. And it was an opportunity that was lost. That prayer didn't come about. I don't know why. I couldn't figure it out. And then they brought up a woman who was in the crowd. I don't know if she was, she had some kind of clout. She was famous for singing, but they asked her to sing a song. And she sang almost like a lullaby and then ended it in Sardarabad, which is a nationalist let's get up and fight song. But she did this, and she calmed the people down. And I felt like, okay, these priests were there, and they lost that opportunity. They lost that opportunity to stand with the people. And subsequently, this was on the third or fourth day, they went all the way to 11 or 12 days, and the church was absent from it. The church was not there. The clergy were not there. Perhaps there were a few here and there. I don't know. But basically, the church, as the body of Christ, as this institution we call the body of Christ, was not there. And now I want you to think about it. You say, well, so what, Father Boskin? What's the big deal? Well, think about what us priests have given our life to. We've given it to the message of the gospel, to Christ, who said that you leave your comfort and you go out there and you stand with the people. You have to be with the people. It is the people who are hurting. And he says, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in the hospital, you came and you visited me. In other words, when we're downtrodden, that's the time that the church needs to reach out. And there was an opportunity that was missed. And so I go up to this Sunday and I go on the Etchmiadzin website just to see what's going on over there, what's the latest. And I read the message that comes from the Catholicos, His Holiness Karagin II. And it was basically the position of Etchmiadzin that we want everything to end peacefully. We ask that the protesters relax, take things into notice, and so on. It was basically a calming letter. But at the very end, he quoted a phrase which I had heard on several occasions and from different places. It's basically the phrase that says, in essentials, unity, in secondary items, liberty, but in all things, love. And I'll tell you something interesting about this. The first time I heard this, I was a seminarian, and we had a teacher named Artun Hadidian, who was a former priest from Jerusalem. He taught us this, and he attributed that quote to St. Nerses Shnoraldi. And so I always assumed that that was an Armenian quote. And I even used it in one of my papers when I got back and was taking classes when I went for my master's in college. And I was caught on that no, this is not a Nerses Shnoraldi quote. In fact, it was attributed to St. Augustine. Yeah, so we're going from Nerses Shnoraldi, 12th century, down to the 4th century. And so, okay, so what's older? Well, I had to look it up, and I did look it up, and it turns out that many church traditions use this statement. And it was interesting. Actually, I'll put a couple websites. You could do your own research. But the quote itself is, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity or love. And it's a beautiful statement if you think about it. It's like the manner in which Christians can work with one another, considering that they come from different traditions. And for this reason, I probably doubt that it was St. Augustine that said it, because it would have to come way later. In Augustine, you had a united church, or basically united. I know there were all kinds of fringe groups, but basically the main church was there. By 12th century, Nerses Shnoraldi, you had the division of East and West. You had definitely the main church, which had divided itself at the Fourth Ecumenical Council from the Armenian church, and you had quite a bit of diversity. And so here's the deal. Unity in essentials. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. Look how beautifully that works out. In unity in essentials. What's an essential? An essential is, I believe in Jesus Christ, Savior. God took human form, Jesus Christ. That's an essential. Okay, you want to talk about being a Christian, you got to believe in this. This is part of the Christian doctrine. And non-essentials, liberty. Oh, what's a non-essential? There's so many things. But let's talk about calendar, for instance. When you celebrate the Assumption of Saint Mary coming up. I could say that that's basically a non-essential. Right? Whether you do it on August 15th, on the Sunday closest to August 15th, do it August 8th, 12th. It's basically we're remembering what happened, the Assumption, but that date, it's basically a non-essential. I mean, we don't break off Christian relations with one another because of a date issue. Okay, so non-essentials, liberty. Let's have a little bit of liberty. But in all things, charity. In all things, love. In other words, in everything that we do, we have to flavor it with love. And so here we are, end of this, the so-called end of what's going on in Armenia. Let's just say this fire was put out, okay? It's not the end of the story. There's more to come. But here you have the Holy See of Etchmiadzin issuing the statement, we are united in essentials, non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. And that's beautiful. But how is that practice of love? Are you there? And that's what we're going to talk about in a couple minutes. We're going to talk about that silence, the need for silence, and the silent scapegoat too. Yeah. But for right now, how about we take a break, listen to a song. We pick out a song every week to kind of break up the show, give me a chance to go fill up my coffee mug, talk to Ken, type to Susie. And in the meantime, Listen up. This is Element Band. I feel so bad. I was supposed to be at their concert. We were looking forward to being there, and Sunday came and went, and unfortunately some things came up, unable to go in lieu of that. How about if we listen to something off of the Yevo Fe album? Element Band, enjoy.
Yarko parak oit merne çetu da seyir kes karne Yarko parak oit merne çetu da seyir kes karne
Mernim. Oh, do we get more romantic than this? My love, I will die for your thin stature, Boyet, I guess, for your thin, yeah, stature. Ah, how romantic can you be, huh? Anyway, as I said, we were going to go out there and see them. Unfortunately, some things came up. last Sunday evening. They played at the Ford Amphitheater here in Los Angeles. If they ever are around your area, do see them. In the meantime, I will have a link on today's show notes so you could check out the Element Band, check out all of their great music, and do be supportive of such great musicians. Headed by Ara Dambanjian, an incredible musician who brings his talent to all kinds of areas within the community. Element Band. Check out the show notes, check out their music.
Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed in the wells of silence.
Silence. And the people bowed and prayed. When to be silent, when not to be silent. How do you make up your mind? What about the church? Where is it during our time of need? Where was it? Where was it when people were protesting? Should it have been out there if it's not political? Well, yes, it should, because I want you to think about it in terms of scripture, in terms of Christ. Where was Christ? He was always with the people. And you cannot deny that. There were difficulties. He wasn't hanging out with the politicians. He wasn't hanging out with the government. In fact, he made it very clear. Remember, some guy comes up to him and says, should we pay taxes? That's a very hot political statement. And Jesus brings it down to a very simple thing. Well, what are taxes? It's money. Look on your coin. Whose head is on there? Caesar's head is on there. Okay, then give it to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. He makes it very clear. Okay, play their game, but also give to God what is important. The bigger chunk of the change, so to speak. And it's important that Jesus said these things, and just as important today for the church to be there with the people to direct, to guide, to give them that steering. And unfortunately, it's not there. It's playing the political game instead of the spiritual game. Now, I've been very critical about this in the past, and I cannot emphasize, because it's hurting me, it's tearing me apart, what is doing to me as a priest. Because every Sunday during the Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the priest reaches out to the people and shares with them the holy body and blood of Christ. And then he says, this is life. This is hope. This is resurrection. This is for the promise of eternity, basically. Right? So how dare he say that and not offer it to the people? Where is the hope? People were looking for a glimmer of hope. And this is why I'm telling you about silence, because we don't need to engage in the political conversation as much as we need to be there. This is something we always forget. If you have ever suffered a loss, you know what I'm talking about. We lost a child many, many years ago. It was our firstborn. I'll never forget this. People would come up and they felt that they needed to explain it to us. I mean, we heard so many different things. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, God loves those people. God loves children. And God did this because he's testing you. He doesn't give you all kinds of stuff that just drove us crazy. And you'd have to look at them and you'd have to smile. But, you know, deep down you're getting upset. Who were the people that we really appreciated? The people that stood with us. They just didn't need to answer. You know, some things don't have answers. But some people that are just there to hold your hand, to be a backbone to you during your difficulties. And this is what Christ did over and over again. Remember when he goes and he sees the paraplegic, the quadriplegic. He sees the man whose ears are deaf. He approaches the man who cannot talk because his tongue is tied, or the blind man because he cannot see. And what does he say to them? He goes up to them and he says, your sins are forgiven. He goes up to people who cannot move and he says, your sins are forgiven. And he's called to task on it. They call him on it. They said, what do you mean your sins are forgiven? Only God can forgive sins. In other words, hey, don't you get it? This man is hurting over here. He's in a knot over here. His hands don't work. His feet don't work. He's basically in a vegetative state, and you're saying your sins are forgiven? It's almost like they hit Jesus with this, and he goes, oh, is that what you want? And he says, okay. Rise, pick up your bed and rise. And it says the man is immediately turned whole. Now, what do these stories tell us about Christ? Yeah, he can go into a situation and he could raise whoever he wants to. But he's telling him that there's something more important. I want to stand with you. I want to be with you. Your sins are forgiven. You can move forward in life. And this is the greatest thing that the church needs to be teaching and doing. Move on with life. Your sins are forgiven. I'm standing with you. I'm here with you. Don't worry. Yeah, there's going to be problems in the world. There are problems all around you. But as Christ says, I have overcome this world. And that promise is one for you. He says that in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. What? You know, last week during the demonstration, some man poured gasoline on himself as a revolt, as a sign of saying how disgusted he was with the situation and saying, I'm willing to die rather than living under this kind of regime. How desperate do you have to get at that point? And he lit himself on fire. Of course, they put him out, but we just got word yesterday that he passed away. He didn't make it. They tried to save him, but the burns were too severe. How desperate does a man have to get that he would pour that gasoline on him and kill himself? And if that man is in desperation, where is the church? Why aren't we standing there with that man? Why aren't we standing next to him? Not with words. Not by saying, oh, God loves you and, you know, God's giving you a test right now. Not by saying like, oh, put down your weapons because God loves those people who kill themselves. No. How about just being quiet? How about being there and guiding the people as Christ did? That this is temporary. Hang in there. Be of good cheer. I'm next to you. I'm with you. Remember, I am with you till the end of the ages. Do we dare to say that? We don't because we're scared. We're scared that people will laugh. We're scared because of the metaphors that we have. Remember what I said earlier? Why do we keep appealing to the politicians? Because that's the framework in which we're in. Those are the metaphors that we know. We don't know the metaphors about a greater peace. About finding that tranquility of soul, of understanding the power of the Spirit in moving people. I mean, I looked at Armenia this past couple weeks, at the terrible stuff that was going on over there, and I said, this is basically the 60s of the Armenia, or the 60s of Armenia. And I got to be honest with you, I can't live with myself at this point that I wasn't there, that I'm not there. And I have to reconcile that. I have to somehow reconcile that, and I don't know if I can. But I did notice that there was something different from the 60s. Whereas you had a Martin Luther King Jr. who was a reverend of the gospel, you didn't have the gospel there. At the first Christian nation was absent the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of that Spirit, the power of the soul in effectuating change in this world. And we, I think, as a world have forgotten that. That's a power that you have within you. That's the power of Christ. That's what we teach in Armadoxy. Let's put down the hoopla of who's wearing the biggest hat, who has the greatest name, what kind of watch you're wearing, and where is your church building located? In a good section of town, bad section of town? If you're located in this world, you're in a bad section. You need to talk to the people. You need to be out there. And we're not. We as a church, this was an indictment on the Armenian church because it took place in Armenia. I think in other areas there's indictments of the church. If the church is going to claim that it is the body of Christ, it has to do the body of Christ. In other words, it has to be there in the pain, with the quadriplegic, with the blind, with the maimed, with the deaf, with the mute. And saying, I'm standing with you. I'm going to be silent and know that I am God. Now, I took this out of context, of course. That quote comes to us from Psalm chapter 46. And in the Psalms, we see that David, I believe this is a psalm of the son of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. So this is a song. And let me read it in context. He says, come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. That be silent, to cease striving. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Cease striving. Be quiet. Stop trying to be something that you're not. Know that I am God. And if the church can do this, trust me, it will win over the people. You look at all the big leaders. Okay, I'm not talking about just church leaders. Look at people that have been important in your life as well. Your teachers, your parents, the ones that you consider as ones who have changed your life, who've had an impact on your life. They're the ones that don't teach by talking, but by the example that they live. Unity in essentials. We believe that Christ is love incarnate. I cannot discount that. That's not up for debate. Christ is love incarnate, the incarnation of love. In secondary things, liberty. How you want to celebrate that? Okay, we can do it. Some people want to do it on Saturdays, others on Sundays. Yeah, I know, there's theological reasons, but we can go with that, right? But in all things love, there it is. The only way that I can express this, the only way that I can be a true Christian is by being that ambassador of love in my life and bringing that love to others. That's what Christ did throughout his life. As a church, as an ambassador of the church, as a representative of the church, the body of Christ, that's the only thing we can do, is be that spokesperson, that mouth, that ear, that back, that backbone, that hand that's going to reach out, that arm that's going to hug, that leg that's going to walk and be with the people. Be still. And know that I am God. Stop striving and accept that I am God. I'm going to take a break right now. Susie will tell you how to get involved over here. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Yeah, I know. We let off a little bit of steam today, but I have to share it with you. There's a great sense of disappointment in where the church is today. The church as the body of Christ is not there. And it begs the question, what am I doing inside of it? I can't be the one who's complaining about it without giving a solution. We've tried to give solutions throughout the years, but now we're at a crossroad and it comes down to what do we do next? I'm reminded of Dr. King's words, there can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. Yes, I'm disappointed in the church because I love that church. I do love it so much. And I understand it as the body of Christ. I've given everything to it, including my life. But where do we go now when you understand that it's not just you? That the church is made up of so many people and there needs to be some answers given for what's going on. And it's lack of doing anything at a time of necessity. Yes, disappointed, but I also remember Dr. King's words, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. And the hope is that that we are living with that hope, because we make those mistakes in life, we've done wrong things in life, but we have an opportunity to mend. And that's where our hope comes. It is infinite. The ability to mend, the ability to move forward. And I'm hoping that we can do that. Be honest with you, I don't know where we're going as a church. I do know as Armadoxy, it is something that I believe in. It is the most primitive form of Christianity. When you strip away all of the hoopla, you get basically the message that Christ taught us to love one another, to understand one another, to forgive one another. In that forgiveness, we have an opportunity to rise to a higher level of consciousness, namely, to forgive, we understand the divine nature. And this teaching is something that we share through this podcast. Your donations go a long way. Your prayers go an awful long way. It is by the grace of God that we're here right now. And I'm asking for your support in a multitude of ways, whether it's financial, whether it's praying or just dropping us a line, letting us know what's up in your neck of the woods and how this is impacting you. Like I said, I appreciated all the response we got last week, and please let us know what's on your mind. You could reach us at feedback@epostle.net. And go to our website, inhisshoes.org, to donate. And we are on Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and see all the things that we're up to during the week. I am transitioning from the St. Peter Parish in Glendale and doing some new stuff coming up. And I hope to share that with you in the coming weeks. We are meeting the new pastor this evening. I'm having a meeting at the church just to bring together a lot of the players, people who are working with us at the church, getting them to meet the new priest. And I hope to have a formal announcement when everything is set in stone. It's coming up. It's this is a big meeting. And let me give you a hint. It was one of the reasons why a few weeks ago we headed out towards Seattle. That's all. Anyway, got a lot to share with you in the coming weeks. See, I changed my mood already. There is hope, right? I want to thank you for joining us today. Please, like I said, join us at Facebook, on our webpage, In His Shoes. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle is apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Multiverse at that. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vosken inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by one top minutes.